Okay, William, here it is. I'm finally back to the last chapter of Stranded on Earth. And this chapter is Igglypop Heads Home. And I know you'll like this chapter because I've been thinking this up for 2 weeks since I went away and came back, and now I want to finish it for you. And this is the final chapter because at the end, Igglypop takes off. But we have to back up a little bit and sort of rewind because so much stuff was happening in the last chapter, I even forget it. But remember, Igglypop had tested out his engines. His unruly robots were all happy. They were ready to go. They were going to do what he told them. He arrived at Solomon Cuttlefish's house, and he found that next door, Dr. O'Toole Talltale and Dr. Talltale and 3T and Curtis Cuttlefish were all there. And then Clem Goodlight showed up with Xue Huang, and the kids, they all showed up because they were going to see him goodbye. Even Maxie came up with his tail wagging. And then who showed up but GP came? GP came with him, of course, and GP plans to go home to Danakapalala. And then they had a big party, and they gave Igglypop all sorts of presents, all sorts of cool presents that they had made up to make his drive back to Janakapalala really, really, really fun. And it was great. And he was just backing out his space cruiser, just pulling it out in the driveway, just ready to tell his unruly robots to take off when who arrived but Major Heinrich Himmelstein with attack vehicles and military police in black uniforms and semi-automatic machine guns. And he, Heinrich Himmelstein, showed up with J.J. Johnstone, and they staggered out. They strolled out and said, "Hey, you're under arrest." Well, this was news to everybody, remember? And Igglypop was, "What? Me?" And then Clem Goodlike stood up and said, "Hey, you can't arrest him." And then Curtis So, Solomon Cuttlefish said, "Hey, you can't arrest him. He's just stranded here on Earth. He's not an illegal alien." And Heinrich Himmelstein drew up his pudgy little self, and he said, "I'm in charge here, and I'm going to arrest him." And then, just as that happened, just as everything was going to be, oh no, out of the sky, dropped space cruisers, big space cruisers, a space frigate, and a space whole space outlet. And then out of one of the cruisers came a helicopter, and down it floated. And who stepped out of the helicopter but the Star Lord of the entire Janakapalala space fleet, Enkiwatera Epsilonaron. And what did Epsilonaron do? What did Enkiwatera Epsilonaron do? He got down on his stomach and his face, and he bowed to his crown prince, Igliopteron Uberoperon. Well, that made it clear to everybody there that this wasn't just some old space alien, Igglypop. This was somebody who was somebody. And then Heinrich Himmelstein said, "I'm in charge," and he took control. And all of his military police aimed their rifles at everybody, and the laser lights came on. At that moment, at that very moment, and this is where I start tonight's chapter, at that very moment, Igglyopteron Uberoperon realized that, wait a sec, he was in charge, because after all, he was the crown prince. And you know what was going on? It was a power play. It didn't matter if he was a stranded alien or an illegal alien, as this guy said. He was a crown prince of Janakapalala, and they should be pleased to have him visiting their crummy little planet. So he stood up and said, "Wait, stop." Well, that held everybody. Everybody stopped and looked at him. Well, I have to say, at the same time that Major Heinrich Himmelstein was trying to do his power play, the Cascadia Mounted Police had shown up. If you remember, Darius Dangerfish and Cornelius Whitefish, and they'd argued with Major Heinrich Himmelstein too and said, "No, you have no right to be here. You only investigate. You can't arrest anybody." And Heinrich Himmelstein just aimed their guns at them too. But meanwhile, they were busy because Darius Dangerfish, he called the Cascadia Regional Autonomy, and he said, "Get someone out here." And Cornelius Whitefish, he called the Shucksan Tribal Authority and said, "Get somebody out here, quick." Well, then Heinrich Himmelstein stood up and said, "I'm in charge." And Igliopteron said, "No, I'm in charge." Well, what happened then? You know what happened? Well, Major Heinrich Himmelstein said, "Okay, I've been waiting for this moment." And one of the big attack vans backed up almost onto the driveway, and the back doors open, and they swiveled out this huge 100-inch TV. And guess what? The TV came on. It turned on. And there on the TV was United People's Conglomerate, El Presidente, Benjamin Bean Broadbeam, J.D. And Benjamin Bean Broadbeam was big, and he was important, and he was somber. And he said, "I am speaking to you from Washtuck, and I want you to know that you are an illegal alien on this earth. And we, the United People's Conglomerate, do not allow illegal aliens to come in. And we are going to arrest you. And if we have to, we'll deport you." Well, that was funny because they had no clue how to get him back to Jinakapalala. But this was his speech. He stood there. He was bold. So Ecleopter on Uber Operon walked up to the TV. And he said, "Ah, good sir, are you the El Presidente? Are you the head? Are you the chief ruling officer of this whole earth?" And El Presidente, Benjamin Bean Broadbeam, said, "No, no, 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 no. I am only the El Presidente of the United People's Conglomerate." So Ecleopteron, Uber Operon, said, "Well, why should I talk to you? You're only head of a region. I want the head of the planet. Who's the chief operating ruler here?" Well, we don't have one. We don't have a chief executive ruler. We're made up of countries and regions and independent entities. And I'm in charge and you're under arrest." Well, Ecleopteron said, "I don't believe so, because I am the crown prince of an entire planet, and I need somebody to talk to who it matches me." Well, they were going at it like that back and forth, and I have to tell you that they were getting kind of heated, and El Presidente Benjamin Bean Broadbeam, who is a rather large man and very self-important with a really expensive haircut, he didn't think anybody should argue with him. Well, at that moment, up drove a big black Suburban, what used to be called a Suburban, but it drove up, it was a big, huge car, and out of it, climbed the Cascadia Regional Autonomy Executive Director, Akura Murasaki, MD. And he drove out and he strolled up to listen to this. And then right behind him came this battered old truck. Oh, it was an old truck, it looked like one of Clem Goodlight's trucks. And out of it came a couple of people, and they carried with them the Shucksan Tribal Authority sachem, Daniel Little Salmon. And the two of them stood there and looked at the television with El Presidente Benjamin Bean Broadbeam. Well, Heinrich Himmelstein wanted to step forward and say, "Enough of this. We're arresting him and taking him with us." And Benjamin Bean Broadbeam looked through the TV and said, "Major Himmelstein, stand down. I'm in charge here." Oh, my goodness, all these people in charge. Well, it's a good thing that old Major Heinrich Himmelstein had not decided to start firing at people, because he wasn't watching. He wasn't looking up. Have we run into this problem before? Always look up. Because up above, all of a sudden, all of the space crews, it's a space frigate, had extruded these long poles, but they weren't really poles. They were laser pulsers. And if they had started shooting, there would be nothing left in very quick time. But Jinakapalalans would rather talk. They'd rather talk than have a big fight, because fighting only wrecks things, and then you got to build them up again, and it really doesn't lead to anything useful. They like to talk. So Ecleopteron, Uber Operon, pulled himself up and said, "I beg your pardon. I am a ruling potentate, and I am stranded on this crummy little planet, and I expect you to help me get off." And Benjamin Bean Broadbeam said, "Well, you are an illegal alien." Well, then up stepped Akira Murasaki, and he said, "Now wait, El Presidente, you are just the monitoring group. You're just the conglomerate. I am the agency. This is Cascadia Regional Autonomy, and I want to say that this young man, this alien," and he looked at Igglypop, and Igglypop was, of course, 7 feet high, so he had to look up at him, and he looked at his nose, mouth, and looked in his head, and he said, all of his writhing hair, tentacles, and he thought, this is a very interesting young man. But he looked at Benjamin Beam, Broadbeam, and he said, "And furthermore, El Presidente, I, the executive director of Cascadia Regional Autonomy, am going to make him an official citizen of Cascadia." Oh, everybody cheered. Yay, he's a Cascadia. And since he's a citizen of Cascadia, he's no longer an illegal alien. Oh, well, Then Sachem Daniel, little salmon, strode up, and he said, "Oh, this man looks like he's an original native. I'm going to make him a tribal member of the Shucksan Tribal Authority. He's no longer an illegal alien because he's a member of our tribe." And everybody went, "Yay! Oh, yay!" And Igglypuff looked around and said, "Huh? What? Ooh, woo, 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 woo." I have no idea what's going on, but it looks like it's getting better. Woo, 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 woo. So all the military men still had their rifles up. All of the laser beams had their lasers locked on. Everybody was jumping up and down. Benjamin Broadbean was getting red in the face, red, red, red in the face. "I don't like this. He's an illegal alien." And then who stepped forward? Who stepped forward but Squeaky Toy? Oh, our Ayatsuri Ninja robot. He stepped forward and he looked at the television and he bowed. And he said, "Oh, El Presidente, please pardon me, but I have something to say." And then he looked at Igglypuff and he bowed. And he said, "Igglyopteron, Uberopteron San, can I have something to say?" Igglypuff said, "Squeaky Toy, my little man, of course." But he said it like, "Woo, woo, 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 woo." And then he bowed to Major Heinrich Himmelstein, because he's a very polite little robot. He bowed and said, "Major Himmelstein, may I have something to say?" Major Himmelstein said, "Just, well, say it and have done with it." And then he bowed to Akira Murasaki, and he bowed to Daniel Little Salmon, and then he even bowed to Clem Goodlight and to Solomon Cuttlefish and said, "May I have a say?" And then he said, "Here, I think I have a solution to this." And everybody said, "Huh?" He said, "Well, I need to give you some history. And this is history from my country, Japan. And in my country, in Japan, long, 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 long time ago, we had closed ourselves off from the rest of the world. Nothing could come in and nothing could go out. And nobody could go in and go out. And then what used to be the United States of America had sailors who would be shipwrecked and they'd be washed ashore. And you know what my countrymen, the Japanese, did? Well, instead of treating them as shipwrecked sailors who should be fed and clothed and helped back to their country, they put them in jail. And they said, 'You are illegal.'" They did. And they put them in jail and they held them in jail. And as more and more of the sailors were washed up, more and more American sailors were in Japanese jails for doing nothing more than saving their lives. Well, the American president heard about this, and he sent his major sailing commodore, Commodore Matthew Perry, to Japan and said, "Commodore Perry, I want you to open up that country. I want you to get our sailors back, and I want you to make a trade deal." Because the president of the United States knew that they were driving a steam navy. And this was way back in the 1800s when you had sailing ships. Nobody had engines, but they were starting with steam engines. And they wanted to ask the Japanese if they could store coal on their islands so they could stop and reload. So Commodore Perry took his big sailing boats and his steamboats, and he sailed to Japan. And he sailed into Tokyo Harbor. This was unknown. And the Japanese put their armies together. Their samurai came together with their long and massive swords and their armor. And they all said, "Stay away, you foreign devils." But there was one man who met Commodore Perry. And that was Hayashi Akira. And Hayashi Akira was a scholar. He was the head of a school. He was a translator. He was a consultant to the shogun, and he said, "Let's talk." And he met with Matthew Perry, and he had discussions with Matthew Perry. And he realized, talking to Matthew Perry, that Japan was just a little country, and there were many bigger countries. And the only way Japan would survive as a little country among big countries would be to open its doors and become big too. And so Hayashi Akira made an agreement with Commodore Perry that Commodore Perry took back to him, to the big president in the United States of America. And that was an agreement to return all the sailors who were in jail, and they sailed back, and to open up some islands so the United States of America could put coal on them, and then their steamships could get more coal. And then they made an agreement that they would start trading. And they traded stuff. They traded food. They traded things. And they traded ideas. And then Commodore Perry, when he agreed to, got his agreement with Hayashi Akira, and he bowed low, just like the good Japanese did, and then he gave Akira Hayashi all those interesting presents. He gave them a toy railroad car, a little engine, a steam engine that actually ran and was big enough for children. And he gave them a telephone. He gave them a telegraph. Well, not a telephone, because it wasn't invented till 20 years later, but he gave them a telegraph. And he gave them all sorts of things that were common in the United States of America, but the Japanese had never seen. And you know what happened then? Because the Japanese opened up their harbors and opened up their arms and became big, the Japanese are now one of the biggest, most important countries in the whole earth. And that's what talking to people and working with each other will do. And Squeaky Toy bowed low. Oh, everybody loved this little thing. Like, hey, Squeaky Toy, what a great, great, great statement. Well, it just so happened that the Cascadia Regional Autonomy Executive Director, Akira Murasaki, was a direct descendant of Hayashi Akira, and he was named after him. And he looked at Squeaky Toy, and he was so happy, and he bowed low to Squeaky Toy, and he said, little boy, I don't know who you are, but you are very wise. And then he stood up, and he looked right at the television with Benjamin Beam Broadbeam, and he said, El Presidente Broadbeam, I have a proposal for you. Well, the El Presidente was a little bit taken back by this speech, and he started to think himself, well, maybe they're right. This is just a planet, maybe. And if this guy is from another planet, maybe there are a lot more planets, and maybe we not put him in jail. And then Akira Murasaki said, here's my proposition. I think we should all render all honors to this fine alien space creature, Iglioptron Uberoperon. And then I think we should let him return to Janaka Palala, but we should first make a treaty. And that treaty should say that he will return and bring back scholars and people who will let us know what life is like in Janaka Palala so that we can plan on becoming a member of his planets. Well, Iglioptron Uberoperon was listening to this, and his communicabulator was translating as fast as he could. And then Iglioptron Uberoperon, who, by the way, as a crown prince, was never used to bowing, he had picked up from Squeaky Toy how to be polite. And he bowed down low to Akira Murasaki, and he said, which meant, I would love to have you join Janaka Palala as a member of the intergalactic Minwin Cholab confabulation. And while we're 1,000 light years away from your reckoning from you, we are really close because we have the light channel, and we can bring you many, many gifts of knowledge and technology that you could use. And then Solomon Cuttlefish laughed and chuckled, and he bowed, and he said, oh, and Iglioptron Uberoperon-san, we can bring you the three laws of robotics to tame your unruly robots. Oh, everybody laughed at that. They loved it. Well, then Benjamin Broadbeam said, and Enki Watera Epsilon-Aron looked at Benjamin Broadbeam. And while Benjamin Broadbeam was up off the car and his TV was up on a stand and he was higher than everybody else, the Star-Lord was looking him right in the face. And the Star-Lord said, which Squeaky Toy translated because he had learned Janaka Palala along the side. And he said, oh, El Presidente, Benjamin Bean Broadbeam, what Enki Watera Epsilon-Aron is saying is that he will engage in treaty with you, and he will guarantee that Janaka Palala's return to this crummy little planet and help you become civilized just the way we are. Well, Benjamin Bean Broadbeam was full of himself, but he realized, maybe there is something here. So he said, okay, it's a deal. And then Squeaky Toy said, and maybe we should let this good Iglioptron Uberoperon-san return to Janaka Palala as soon as possible because he's been here too long and he misses his mama and his dada and he wants to see them. And we are going to send an envoy. Benjamin Bean Broadbeam looked down and said, a what? And Akira Murasaki said, a who? And Sachem Daniel Little Salmon said, And then Squeaky Toy said, "We are sending Gustav Panier, ethnojournalist at Washington Gumption University, and he is going to visit Tanaka Palala and bring all of our greetings, and he will help us write the treaty, and then he will return with the treaty for us to look at." Benjamin Broadbeam, let's see this guy. Oh, everybody pushed GP forward then. And there's GP in his little clothes, his graduate student clothes, and he's got a backpack slung over his shoulder still, and he looks up. Well, he knew El Presidente, Benjamin Bean Broadbeam. He'd seen him on the holograph all the time. And he said, "El Presidente, I would appreciate this job to go and visit Janaka Palala and bring you back everything I know about Janaka Palalans." And then he looked at Akira Murasaki, and he said, "I am a proud member of Cascadia Regional Autonomy, and I will say, Dr. Murasaki, that I would like to go to Janaka Palala on behalf of Cascadia Regional Autonomy and represent our wonderful region and bring back all the benefits of science and technology and knowledge that I can." And then he looked at Sachem Daniel Little Salmon, and he said, "Sachem Little Salmon, I have always been respectful of the Shuksan Tribal Authority, and I would like to bring back anything we can that would help you with your lives and your spirituality." And Daniel Little Salmon just laughed and said, "Go get him, boy." So GP said, "It's a deal." And Igglypop said, "Whoop, it's a deal." Daniel Broadbeam said, "Well, all right, it's a deal." And he looked at Major Himmelstein and he said, "Major, back in your truck, you're heading home." Oh, Major Heinrich Himmelstein was not happy, but all of his military police put down their weapons. And just as they did, all of the space cruisers and space frigates pulled in their laser guns. And then Igglyopteron said, "Woohoo! It's a deal then! Woohoo!" And then everybody cheered. Everybody gave him a big hug. And then the military police zoomed off. They didn't want anything more to do with this. Benjamin Broadbeam was stuck into his truck and he took off. They were gone. But the Cascadia Mounted Police did. Darius Dangerfish and Cornelius Whitefish, they hung around to see the show. And so did Daniel Little Salmon and Akira Murasaki. And they watched around to see the show. And then everybody gave Igglypop a big hug. Of course, it's kind of hard to hug a big, huge, 7 foot tall Janaka Palala with hands that look like ping pong paddles, but they did. And Shui Wang gave him a kiss on one cheek, and Dr. O'Toole Talltale gave him a kiss on another cheek, and everybody got, all the little kids grabbed him around the legs and said, "Oh, we love you, Igglypop, we love you, Igglypop." And Maxie the dog was running in circles, barking, "Wark, wark, wark, wark," with his tail wagging. And then finally, Igglypop said, "My friends, it's time for me to go, but I have to tell you, I am going to return because you are all now part of my family." Well, that is about the most amazing thing that a Janaka Palalan can say, especially one Uber-Operon, who is the royal family, because family is it. Family is the most important thing in the world. And that's one thing that El Presidente Benjamin Bean Broadbeam could not understand, is that the Janaka Palalans think of themselves as a Janaka Palalan family. And so one of theirs is as important as anyone else. And they weren't going to have their crown prince stuck in a prison on this crummy little planet. And so Igglypop climbed into the space cruiser. And he was climbing and he looked out at GP. And he said, "Co-pilot GP Uber-Operon, you're wanted." Oh, GP was so mad. He jumped through the door with Igglyopteron. And they both sat down. And he sat in the co-pilot seat, and Igglyopteron sat in the captain's chair. And the two looked at all of the dashboard. And everything had been set up by Solomon Cuttlefish. They had the little player that GP could use. They had all of the information on star dynamics and all of the physical science that and the psycho-astro-sci-physics that Clem Goodlight had put. They had all the music that Shui Huang had put in, and they had all the players, and he had all his equipment, all his cameras, all his everything. And he went, wait, stop, wait, we can't go yet. And Igglypop said, what? He said, wait, we need a picture. And so he jumped out of his seat, and he said, open the door. And he opened the door, and he said, Igglypop, come out. Igglypop got out, and then he said, we need a picture. And so everybody who was still there said, huh? And they did. They all lined up. They all did a group hug around Iglyopteron Uberoperon, and they all gave him a big, big hug. And then GP pulled out his big widescreen ultra-digital camera, and he handed it to Darius Dangerfish. And he said, "Would you take a picture of us?" And Darius Dangerfish said, "I certainly will." Then everybody who was there, everybody, the executive director of the Cascadia Regional Autonomy, the sachem diddle, little salmon, everybody, they all went around Iglypop and they gave him a big hug and grinned. And then Darius Dangerfish took their picture. It was a wonderful picture. A wonderful picture. And then GP said, "Oh, and I can use my Wi-Fi." And he turned the Wi-Fi on his camera, and then he shot that Wi-Fi to Taro Tool Tall Tale, and to Clem Goodlight, and to Solomon Cuttlefish, and he said, "Here's the picture of all of us. Yay!" And then, because they were all so happy, they finally climbed into the ship again. And Iglypop said, "Robots, are you ready?" And the robots said, "We're ready." And then he said, "Atmospheric robots, turn on." Well, actually, he talked to Talk Rob, because Talk Rob does the ordering, if you don't know. He doesn't talk directly to the different robots. Talk Rob does. But he said, "Talk Rob, turn on the atmospheric jets." The atmospheric jets turned on and hummed. And then Iglypop said, "All right, we're going to go up 1,000 feet. And then slowly, the big space cruiser lifted. It didn't make a noise. It didn't sound like a jet. It just lifted up 1,000 feet, and everybody there watched it as it became smaller and smaller and smaller. Then Iglypop said, "All right, atmospheric jets, take us up 1,000 miles. And the atmospheric jets popped it up 1,000 miles over the Earth. And down below, GP could see the Earth, a whole Earth, all the clouds and the water and the land. And he said, "Wow, oh my goodness." And then Iglyopteron said, "All right, gravitational pull motors, find me some gravity." And they locked on to a distant star, Sagittarius maybe, or one of them, and they took off. And they pulled them towards the light channel. And that, my dear William, is the end of Stranded on Earth. And the next book will be GP on Janakapalala. I have to get a better name than that. And I'll have to tell you all about their trip to Janakapalala and what GP finds out about Janakapalala. And then when he comes home, what he brings as a treaty. It'll be great. It'll be fabulous. It'll be fantastic. But for tonight, that's it. That's the end of the story. And I love you, William. Give a big hug to your little sister, Lauren. Give a big hug to your mama and your dada. And say a prayer for your grandma and your granddad. They're beautiful people. And you have a good sleep. And I'll tell you another story soon.